Are you overwhelmed by motherhood and barely keeping your head above water? Are you confused and frustrated by how all the other moms make it look so easy? You can't figure out how to manage the chaos in your mind, your home, or your family. I get you, mama. Parenting with ADHD is hard. Here is your permission slip to let go of the Pinterest-worthy visions of organization and structure fit for everyone else. Let's do life like our brains do life. Creatively, lovingly, and with all our might. When we embrace who we are and how our brains work, we can figure out how to live our lives successfully, and in turn, lead our families well. At the end of the day, we just want to be good moms, but spoiler alert, you are already a great mom. ADHD does not mean you're doomed to be a hot mess, mama. You can rewrite your story from shame spiral to success story. And I'll be right here beside you to cheer you on. Welcome to Motherhood in ADHD. Hey there, successful mama. It's your friend, Patricia Sung. Before we jump into today's episode, we've got our review of the week. And this one is from Mud Toyota. They say, excited to find this. I'm overwhelmed with excitement after finding this podcast. I've listened to some of the experiences of other moms and relate wholeheartedly and love all the tips for how to manage some of the struggles. Thank you, Mud Toyota. You know, it's interesting because like as much as I am here talking, like when I speak with you and hear your experience, like it is just as much of a blessing on my heart to hear what you're going through and knowing that I'm not alone as it is for you all telling me like the same back. Like, having this community here really matters. Speaking of which, if you haven't joined our Facebook community, you should go do that. It's totally free and it's full of thousands of awesome moms who are sharing their experiences and cheering for each other. So if you go over to Facebook groups, it's called Motherhood and ADHD, all one word. And yeah, come join our community over there. I'd love to talk to you, like maybe not like in person, but like in virtual person. Okay, let's hop on into the episode. So for ADHD Awareness Month, we've been talking about doing less to lower your stress. We started out with our retreat, the power of the pause and slowing down, doing less. Then we talked about Groundhog Day drinking and maybe you want less alcohol in your life. Next, we talked about ADHD paralysis and how when our stress gets too high, our brain shuts down and how we can get out of that. And this week, we're talking about imposter syndrome. In this case, we need less negative thoughts running around our brain to lower our stress. I am so done with imposter syndrome. Like, I can't even tell you how mad it makes me to realize that this has been a problem my whole life. When we were at the retreat early this month, one of the moms said that her late diagnosis felt like Sally Fields and Mrs. Doubtfire when she realizes that it's her ex-husband. And she's like, the whole time? The whole time? Like, this is how I feel about imposter syndrome. Like, the whole time, my whole life, I've been telling myself that I'm not good enough. Like, it was me. I have been telling myself this. Like, the whole time. The whole time. And I am so done. I am so mad. I have not worked through this anger yet. Probably something to discuss in therapy. I am so mad now that I've realized what a problem this is. For women with ADHD, it's not just me. We spend our whole lives taking in the criticisms and comments of others and adopting it into our own narrative, and that's not us. Every time we hear someone say, like, you're too sensitive, you're too talkative, you're too dramatic, why are you bothered by that? It's not a big deal. We are thinking that there's something wrong with us, that we are the problem, and we're not. Just because we see things in a different way doesn't make them wrong. But this idea that we perceive things incorrectly, it pervades into everything we do, everything we think about ourselves, and creates this negative narrator that's constantly telling us that we're not good enough, that we're not whatever enough for whatever the situation is. And we don't trust ourselves. We don't believe our gut. We don't trust that what we feel and see and know is right. And it's a huge problem. There's a huge issue with us not understanding how hormones interact with ADHD. There's a huge problem with us not understanding our stress response and how to work through that with, especially like our emotional dysregulation. And I think there's a huge problem with imposter syndrome and us not trusting our gut and all that self-doubt that tells us that we're not right and we don't know. And it's not true. So I want to talk through some practical pieces of imposter syndrome. So we'll talk about what is imposter syndrome. How does it relate to ADHD? Like what to look for if this is what you're dealing with? And then what do we do about it? So imposter syndrome is this like, I think it's a pretty recent realization. I'm like, oh, I should look that up before I start this podcast. This happens a lot, y'all. Like I go through my outline, I know what I'm going to say, and then I start talking and I'm like, ooh, what about that rabbit hole I didn't traverse down? I'm like, no, Patricia, you can't talk about every single thing on a podcast. Just, you know, stick with what you got. So imposter syndrome is becoming more and more talked about recently. There are studies that show that up to 82% of people experience imposter syndrome at some point, but women with ADHD, this is a rampant issue. So many of us minimize our achievements. We over-magnify what our mistakes are. And then when it comes to getting compliments or praise, like it's like in one ear and out the other. Like we don't appreciate what we've done. We don't celebrate how hard we've worked. We chalk it up to like, oh, well, you know, I don't know why they picked me for that. Or, you know, like, I got that degree, but you know, like, when you know, I just, you know, anybody who does this stuff can get it. Like anyone who achieves the requirements gets it. Like, no, you worked really hard on that. You put in a lot of time and effort on that. You persisted in that. You earned that and you don't give yourself credit. And like, it makes sense because, you know, a lot of times you're working twice as hard to get less than the result that other people get just by doing the basics. We're constantly reminded of like the things we forgot. You know, we didn't manage our time well, how we got distracted. And this has been our whole life that we're constantly reminded of all the things that we do wrong. And that voice is louder than what we do right. I know that this is me. Because still to this day, even though I'm like actively working on this, I'm like, I still don't trust that I'm good at what I do sometimes. And it's like blows my mind. I'm like, Patricia, you have a top 5 parenting podcast with hundreds of thousands of downloads. And yet somehow you still think, oh, I don't know, maybe I'm not ready for this. Maybe I need another degree. Maybe I need another certification. Oh, they won't pick me. They'll definitely pick that old white dude instead to talk about it because he's a medical doctor and he's got the whatever. Like I'm constantly comparing to what other people are doing, even though I'm doing a really great job. I am working hard. I am doing great things and I don't give myself credit for it. Like it's total crazy town. What? How is this okay? It's not. And I want us to start a revolution of ADHD women owning their brilliance, owning their strengths, saying like, yeah, maybe you don't agree with me, but like, I know in my gut or in my heart, in my soul, in my brain that this is true. And I'm standing by it. I've worked hard. I'm doing great things. Yes, I do mess up sometimes. We are not expected to be perfect. But that does not negate like the praise and like the compliments that we have earned and deserved by what we've done and working hard. How do we know it's imposter syndrome and just not like we don't know enough stuff? Because that's a question I get a lot of like, well, how do I know that's like not just that like I really am not qualified for this? See, when you're just truly not qualified for something, like you know, like, okay, here's the thing I'm missing. I need this knowledge. I need this certification for the job. Like, yes, there are some like jobs in life that like you have to have a law degree to be a lawyer. Okay, like in that case, it's very clear, like I need A to do B. Then you know, like I'm not qualified for that. Like that's a really easy cut and dry answer. When it's imposter syndrome, it's not a clear cut answer usually. Like that's when we start like tossing it around in our head and spinning around and being like, well, maybe I need to do this. What if I do this? Well, maybe I need to do this. Well, maybe if I just, you know, had a few more training classes on that, then maybe I would be good enough. And maybe, and it's like the comparison of everything. It's like when you're spinning out in your head, and you're going down what all these like what if things and maybe that and maybe this, like that's imposter syndrome. When you truly aren't qualified for something, there's usually a clear cut answer of like, you need this for that. When it's us in our heads, that's imposter syndrome. Okay, some examples. If you're minimizing your successes and exaggerating your mistakes, when you can remember that dumb thing you said 15 years ago and you're up at night like at 2 a.m. beating yourself up about it, but like you don't notice the fact that you did this really awesome thing this week and you like literally just glossed it over, That's imposter syndrome. When you're attributing your success to like luck or chance, when you've actually worked really hard, that's imposter syndrome. When you're constantly doubting your abilities, even though you're very good at what you do, that's imposter syndrome. When you're constantly worried about like, oh, what if they find me out? They know I'm a fraud. That's imposter syndrome. When you're constantly comparing yourself in a negative form to others, that's imposter syndrome. When you're like, oh, look, well, you know, I only have a master's, but they have a PhD. Like, dude, you have a master's. What? You worked hard for that. Or like, you ran a marathon, but that person over there does Ironmans. Like, dude, you did a marathon. Or like, you're like, well, I only have like one or two kids and that person has eight. That mom's killing it with her eight kids. She just does all the things. Like, dude, you're raising two people, one person. You're working hard. You're doing a lot of stuff. That comparison, it'll kill us. Literally kill our souls with the comparison. I also can't skip over the fact that when you are part of a historically marginalized group, when you have ADHD, you have a learning disability, when you are a person of color, when you are part of the LGBTQIA plus community, when you have any like part of your identity that is not treated well, like this isn't all in your head. People are treating you differently. People are treating you poorly. Obviously, I can't speak from experience on some of these marginalized groups because I'm not part of it, but I can't just not say anything about it just because it's not me. Like, if you're the only person of color in your office, you're being treated differently. That's not in your head. When English is your second language and you have anxiety over people thinking you're dumb because you make grammar mistakes, like, that's not all in your head. When people within your own culture don't support you. One of the moms on the retreat mentioned that her dad didn't even know what she did, and she has her own practice. She has graduate degrees. She sees patients. And like her own dad was like, huh, oh, you have patients? Like those cultural realities have an effect on you. So I want you to know that imposter syndrome isn't all in your head, especially when you add on layer after layer of these marginalized identities where people have treated you poorly in the past. And we take those on and like that disrespect and that negativity, that downright hurtful action or words, like those make a difference in how we see ourselves. So I want you to know that that's not all in your head. I'm like, I could go on a whole soapbox about this and I'm gonna stay on track, Patricia. It's not all in your head. All of these experiences through our lives affect us. And at the same time, we can rewrite the way that we speak to ourselves. That's what neuroplasticity is. Changing the way we do things in our brain on purpose. Choosing to speak to ourselves differently is really hard. It is hard to rewrite decades of worn paths in our brain. Of course, I can't remember where I heard this now. See, this is why I love you all, is that you tell me these stories too. I'm like, I don't remember where I heard this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. If somebody knows where this is from, please come tell me. Is that when we have a pathway in our brain, I'm like, ooh, was it Carolyn's episode like two or three episodes ago? It might have been that one. Okay. When we have a path in our brain that has been worn, and if you think about like an old country house that's all grass, you know, you drive your pickup truck in the same place and it wears the path. If you want to make a new path, you have to move your truck and drive a different path and you have to wear a new path. And eventually that old path will start to get overgrown and the weeds will come in and the grass will come in and cover it up. But if you go back and you take that old path and it tramples down the new growth, it's like you need more time to grow over that path and really wear down the new one. It takes time to create those new neural pathways, but it is possible. And that's what I want you to know, is that just because we've adopted all of this negativity in our lives and made it into our own voice telling us that there's something wrong with us, we don't have to stay there. We can rewrite how we speak to ourselves. So let's talk about some practical ways to do that. One is keeping some kind of journal of your accomplishments. And possibly even the effort that you did to get there. Because it's really easy to minimize what we've done well when we're focusing on all the stuff we've screwed up. And we do screw up a lot of stuff. I'm not going to say that we don't. But that doesn't mean that we don't deserve to celebrate all the things you've done. So if you're not a writer, can you make a voice note in your phone? If you get a sweet note, can you save that text or that email, like take a screenshot, put it in a folder. I did that when I first started this podcast, is that anytime anyone wrote me any kind of encouragement, whether it was, you know, a DM, an email, I would take a screenshot and I had a whole folder in my Evernote that I would put them in. The same with emails, I would stick them all in a folder. And then on the days where I'm like, should I even stick with this anymore? Like, what's the point? Like back when the podcast had like 10 downloads on a day and I was like, what is the point of this? Why am I wasting all this time on this? It's not making a difference. I would go back into those two folders and I would read all the sweet notes that you would write me. And that is what kept me going. Find a way to keep track of what you do well so that you can remind yourself of how hard you're working, how you're doing great things. Maybe that's pictures of your kids when they're doing something great and you're like, hey, sometimes I'm really good at this mom thing. Granted, there's days where I don't feel like I am, but here's a reminder of when I am doing a great job. Here's a reminder of what I did well at work. Here's a reminder of how I helped someone in my family or a friend. And keep track of those things so that you can remind yourself of how much you're doing, that it is making a difference, and start to rewrite those neural pathways to say, I am doing a good job. I am working hard. Okay, tip number two is letting go of perfectionism. I mean, I have several episodes on perfectionism because that's my coping mechanism of choice. It's like, I don't see control through gambling or eating disorders or addiction. Like my addiction is perfection. And if I can just control everything that I output and the way that I look and the way that I do things, then there's no room for judgment. No one can tell me that I'm messing it up because I'm already hearing in my head how much I messed stuff up. Well, guess what? Whew, this has been a long process. I'm working really hard on this and you can change those voices in your head too. How have I done this? Ugh. The worst, you have to purposely fail. Two thumbs down, yet very effective. How can you purposefully make mistakes that are small and inconsequential to start showing yourself that like I can make a mistake and it's going to be okay? One thing that I do now is I don't proofread my text messages. Granted, autocorrect really, you know, come and gets me sometime. But I used to reread and reword my text messages over and over and over again before I sent them. And now I'm just like, you know what? I'm not capitalizing that I. If I spelled it wrong, oh well, if it doesn't make sense, either the person's going to tell me it didn't make sense and then I'll clarify. Or you know what? They'll figure it out. Everyone knows how autocorrect works these days. You read it out loud and you kind of guess what they said, right? The same thing with emails. I used to reread my emails so many times. This is still a really hard one for me. So like if I feel pressure, like I'll still reread it a bunch of times, but I'm working on not doing that. And it's really hard. So what are the ways that you seek control through perfectionism? Where can you let go of something little, like not capitalizing that I, and prove to your brain it's okay that you made that mistake? If you want to go listen to episode 43, I talk a lot about perfectionism in that one. That'll show you how long I've been working on this. If you look at the date, that was one of the early episodes. So this is something that I continue to work on. Are you curious if you have ADHD? Like you're still just not quite sure. Is this me or not? Maybe you're getting ready for your diagnosis appointment, or maybe you want to bring it up with your GP, but you're not quite sure how to talk about it. I've put together a checklist of symptoms. That's not your average boring list of symptoms. It's the Patricia take on, from what I've seen of working with thousands of women, ways that I see these symptoms actually showing up in real life. I put it all together in a downloadable checklist, and I want you to go get it. Download the checklist, go through and check off, here are the things that show up in my life, and there's space in there for you to write in where you see these things showing up in your life. And then you can take that list to your doctor's appointment and show them, like, when I say I'm being forgetful, here's what I mean. When you ask me, like, are you hyperactive? This is how hyperactivity shows up in my life, in my brain, so that you have concrete examples and you don't freeze up. When it comes time to talk about it, you have your preparation there and you feel confident and capable in talking about you because you know yourself best. So head over to my website and you can download the free checklist at patriciasung.com/ADHD-symptoms. And that'll go right to your email and you can take that with you and be prepared for that tough conversation. Again, that's patriciasung.com/ADHD-symptoms. Tip number three is give your negative narrator in your head a funny voice. Like give them a personality. Like imagine what they look like. For me, mine is Miranda Priestly from The Devil Wears Prada. And I make the voice into like this caricature. So when I hear myself telling myself, like I hear myself telling myself like that I'm, you know, a mess and that I can't do things and like, how could you forget that? I picture Miranda yelling at me with like a little snooty nose and like, actually I give her an accent too. And then I can start to separate when that's like true Patricia thinking and when that is that negative narrator beating down on me, because now it's not my own voice that's criticizing me. It's now Miranda's voice in her caricature. And that is how I separate in my head, whether it's true or whether that's the negative narrator. And then I can tell her to shove it. And it's easier to separate. And that takes time. But as you like, take a moment and picture, like, what does that voice look like? Who's saying it to you? How do they sound? What's their face look like? That's how you can like separate it from your own thoughts. It doesn't have to be you that's criticizing you. And you can teach your brain to treat yourself well. As a side note, like, please don't beat yourself up for that. It's not your fault that you were taught as a kid to treat yourself that way. Like, as a kid, little you did the best they could with what they had, and little you didn't know that you were taking on all the negativity from other people and internalizing it and treating yourself poorly. Little you did the best it could. And also, we can do something different now that we're aware. Then the fourth one is find a support team. When your brain is telling you falsely that you stink, you're gonna fail, you can't do this, who else can you enlist to help you rewrite those messages? Do you have a good friend who can cheer you on, or a coworker at work who is encouraging, someone in your family? Who is it in your life that can breathe positivity in when you're struggling? Who can remind you of your good qualities when you're having trouble seeing them? You may want to pay someone to help you do that. Like, that is what therapy is for, someone there to work through those past traumas and sift through them and figure out how to move past all that yuck that's in your past. You may want to hire an ADHD coach to help you move forward and teach you these kind of strategies, teach you like how you can see the good parts of you, how you truly are doing great things, and help you move forward. Because as you have success, that helps you rewrite all the failures that you keep playing in your head. And that's what an ADHD coach does, is that they help you figure out the strategies that work for you in your life so that you can move forward to the goals. Like, a lot of people ask me, what's the difference between therapy and coaching? Like, in the simplest form, very simple form here, basically, therapy is going to help you work through the past, and coaching is going to help you achieve a goal in the future. Where do you need the help at the moment? Over the last couple of years, I've been working with women in a group setting, in my courses, in our 1C support group, and seeing these patterns. And now I'm doing it one-on-one, coaching women through, like, how do you see yourself the way that God sees you? How can you rewrite the way that you talk to yourself? How can you implement strategies that make sense for you, that will actually work? And I am effing good at it. I am so good at this. And I can see how all my experiences are coming together as someone with undiagnosed ADHD through my childhood, struggling in college, pulling it together, bringing together my entrepreneurial background. I've had a business since I was 12. Bringing together my teaching background and being able to explain things to people in a way that makes sense for their brain and tailoring it to how each person learns. That was my gifting as a teacher. Is that I could reach any kid because I could explain it the way that they got it. I was the Spanish teacher who got kids who had already failed 3 times to pass because they couldn't graduate without their language requirement. And I'm like, no, we're going to make this happen. We're going to get it done. That cheerleading and that encouragement and that support is one of my gifts. And I never gave it any credit because I'm an introvert. And I thought that's the thing that extroverts do, is encourage people. No, that's one of my greatest gifts, is that I can see in people what their gift is even when they can't. And I can show you what your gift is when you can't see it yourself. I can help you figure that out so that you know where you shine, you trust your gut, you get your intuition, and you use that every day to be the best version of you. And I'm done sitting on the sidelines comparing to everybody else and not saying, I'm good at this. I'm great at this. Who else has my skill set? Who else understands ADHD and being a mom and has an education background and has an entrepreneurial background and has this gifting of understanding systems and plans and like being able to see the system and the planning come together in like a visual format to be able to explain that to other people and having that encouragement and that nurturing personality to lean in and encourage people where they need it. And also like the brilliance of ADHD and having so many ideas, like I'm like, I don't even know what to do with all these ideas. There's so many of them. Like the hard part is picking the right one because there's so many good ones. Like all those gifts come together and make me stinking good at what I do. And I'm done hiding. And I want that for you too. I want you to see where your gifts are. I want you to understand where you are amazing. I want you to know that you don't have to live this life of barely getting by, barely surviving. You can thrive with ADHD. It's possible. You can rewrite all those messages that have been burning whole tracks in your brains for decades and speak to yourself in a kind and loving way. It is hard. It takes time and practice, but we can do it. We are not doomed to be a hot mess. And when we do all of this work on ourselves, we are breaking generational curses and struggles to make our kids' lives better. What a gift that is, to be able to lead our kids through their lives, whether they have ADHD or not, and be successful and know their gifts and love themselves just the way they are. We are doing that. You are doing that, Mama. You are leading your family well. Despite all the mistakes you're making, that does not negate the hard work you're putting in to do better by your family and give your kids the gift of thriving instead of surviving. I'm here to start a revolution of ADHD women changing the paradigm and not hiding in the shadows and doubting ourselves. We are brilliant. We are problem solvers. We are creative. Like the list just goes on and on of what makes us amazing. And most of those are like exponentially better because of our ADHD. I hope you'll join me in this revolution of changing the paradigm of how we view ADHD and how we view ourselves. And when you're ready to do that, you know where to find me. If you want to work with me in one-on-one setting, I would love to coach you through figuring out how to find your gifts and developing the strategies that make sense for your life. When you're ready to figure out what makes you you and how you can live well with ADHD, please come sign up with me. I always said I wasn't going to do one-on-one coaching and I was just going to stay in my little box and teach my courses because I was a teacher and stick with the status quo. But you know what? I'm done with that. I mean, I'm not done with that. I'm still teaching my classes. Don't get me wrong. I'm done with staying in the box. Is that I can teach classes well and help women in a group setting, and I can also help women one-on-one. And this is just the beginning. Look out, world. Patricia Sung's coming. And right behind me, I'm going to have a full army of ADHD women owning who they are and their strengths and changing the world. Oh, I should probably tell you how to do that. When you're ready to do one-on-one coaching with me, head over to my website. It's patriciasung.com/ADHD-coach, ADHD-coach, whichever you want to do. And yeah, come sign up. It's time to change the world. Let's do it. patriciasung.com/ADHD-coach. I'll talk to you soon, successful mama. For more resources, classes, and community, head over to my website, motherhoodinadhd.com.